On an average weekday, there are 49,000 light rail riders in the valley. Most of those people enjoy their trips to and from work, school, or a downtown Phoenix event. But would ridership be even higher if more residents felt safer? Some say they don't ride light rail because they've had to deal with fellow riders who are drunk or belligerent. To address that, Valley Metro leadership is launching the Respect the Ride campaign to make riders feel more comfortable with the experience. And with me to talk about that proposal is Valley Metro CEO Scott Smith, who's on the cusp of marking his first full year in that position. Scott, is Respect the Ride going to address some of the concerns people have about safety and comfort on light rail?
We hope it addresses the majority of it. There's no doubt that as we've matured as a system, and believe it or not, we're only a couple months away from hitting 9 years of having light rail here in Metro Phoenix, which is amazing to me. But as we've matured as a system, we also have inherited some of the challenges that mature systems have. And one of those is bad behavior. Our system is very safe. The statistics bear that out, and you are safe when you're riding on our light rail. But we understand that when there's bad behavior, that it doesn't seem safe. It doesn't feel safe. And a perception of safety is almost more damaging than reality. And so before we get to the point where we have to deal with unsafe situations, we want to deal with bad behavior.
And how are you going to deal with bad behavior?
Well, Respect the Ride is our program, our plan of action to remind those who want a safe ride that they deserve to be able to ride on light rail system. Mm-hmm. Safely, comfortably, and without worrying about whether they're going to be bothered or even put in harm's way. It's also to put those that decide that they don't want to ride our system and behave well on notice that we're going to get serious about this. We're not going to tolerate bad behavior. We're not going to tolerate those kind of things that put others at peril.
So, Scott, if the board does go ahead to approve this plan, will there be extra security? Is there extra funding that's going to be needed for this?
There won't be any extra security per se to begin with, but we will redeploy. Right now, most of our contracted security guards check for fares. Everyone who's ridden on light rail has had their pass checked. We'll do probably less fare inspection and more safety and security inspection. Our contract personnel will be on the lookout for those who are not following our rules in the sense that, not in a gotcha sense, but they just want to make sure everyone's comfortable. Mm-hmm. We'll also have more police presence. The cities of Tempe, Mesa, and Phoenix have worked together with Valley Metro to ensure that we have both on-duty and off-duty police officers. And you'll probably see a little bit more police presence, especially in those times where we would have issues, Friday nights, Saturday nights, special events, the times when people gather and when maybe someone's had a little too much to drink or someone's maybe a little bit in what might be a party attitude, but it maybe crosses the line.
I recall when you were mayor of Mesa, not everyone in your city was a fan of this idea. You were an advocate early on to make light rail a reality. And I imagine some people in your community expressed concerns about things like drunk and disorderly, people being too loud. What would you say to those people now?
Well, I'd say that their concerns are real. There are concerns. I would also say two things. Number one, the impact of light rail, the positive impact of light rail, far outweighs any challenges we have. Light rail, we don't create crime. We don't create anything. The studies have shown that. We've actually, our local police departments have said light rail doesn't create crime. But we are absolutely part of the community. And we are a gathering, a concentration place. So if there is crime in a community, you have that, and you bring people together, we're going to experience some of those, some of the downside of society also. So when they tell me that, light rail, this happens, I say, probably does. It happens at an ASU football game. It happens at your local mall. It's part of being in the community. Our job is to make sure that we minimize that impact and that we make them feel comfortable with the fact that we take this very seriously and that we're not going to allow this to escalate to the point where they can't believe that they can ride safely on light rail. Once again, the overall impact of light rail on our community has been enormous and has been well worth the investment we've made. And this is a challenge for us. It's an issue, but it's not one that I think is going to reduce certainly my excitement and my passion about light rail, and it shouldn't the communities.
Do you think riders have unreasonable expectations of perfection? It's almost if they're on a Disneyland ride of some sort?
I think riders have reasonable expectations based on the fact that if you get in a train that's moving 40 miles an hour, there's no doubt that you should rightfully expect to be able to ride from Tempe to Phoenix or from 19th Avenue and Dunlop to Mesa and not feel threatened. And I don't think that's unreasonable for riders to expect that. It's our job to rise to the occasion, to rise to their expectations. We do a pretty good job in making sure that trains show up every 12 minutes, and we're pretty consistent and reliable. Mechanically, the trains work. We understand that we have a challenge in making sure that we complete that sentence in saying, okay, we'll get you there. We just want to get you there in a way that makes you feel comfortable.
And Scott, finally, big picture question for you. These transportation projects are expensive, and there's been a lot of reliance on federal funding for some of that. So when you look into your crystal ball, how difficult or how challenging is it going to be to build big projects like this in the future, and how creative are communities going to have to get?
There's no doubt it's going to be more challenging than it has been in the past, simply because of the consternation and the chaos in Washington. But I think that'll settle itself out. The president, when he was running and after, said he wanted a $1 trillion infrastructure. Transit is probably the most heavily controlled investment there is. The amazing things we have to do to make sure we spend the money the way we say we're going to spend it lends me to believe that somehow those in Washington will come around and say it's a good investment, it's a safe investment, and we're going to continue. We don't know exactly how that'll play out, but I'm optimistic that that'll happen. Nevertheless, because there is that uncertainty, what we're seeing now as far as public-private partnerships, cities stepping up like the city of Phoenix did a couple of years ago to pass the T2050 initiative, you're going to see more of that. And I think you're going to see a hybrid of funding and financing. I believe the federal government will continue to be involved, but I think that communities will have to take upon themselves a larger portion. And they're going to start reaching out to the private sector to build partnerships, both financially, operationally, and you're going to see that happen because I think the validity of investment in rail and other transit, just like with any transportation infrastructure, merits our investment.
Scott Smith is the CEO of Valley Metro, also the former Mesa mayor. Scott, good to see you. Thanks.
Great to see you too, Steve. Thanks.